Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only.
Welcome to another edition of That Riot Show. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
You ever see a steam pipe when too much pressure builds up in a boiler or something? What happens?
Are you saying that little pipe over there?
Yeah, that blows off steam.
Really?
The relief valve. Phil's an engineer. He understands. Has a relief valve. Why do you think God gave you a dick? It's to avoid stress, man. He needs a blowjob. But not just any old blowjob.
Isn't that funny? Women cause stress, and then they can relieve it.
There you go.
This is fucked up. Now, work up all your science. Very good. Quickly, we're going to give you two in a second. Then work it up. Look at you.
Yep.
Okay. 1 in 15. They had an abstinence policy, but 1 in 15 for me.
Yep.
Go.
I'll tell you exactly what it is from a scientific standpoint. I'd be happy to. You know what it is? You can't stop teenagers from fucking.
This is fucked up.
I know I'm getting old. This very week, I've sat on my balls twice.
This is fucked up.
Unfortunately, on this visual medium, you have to put up with this. Look at this. See? Larry, feel that.
No.
Oh, you're gay.
This is fucked up.
Hey, Phil, what kind of time we got left? Hold, I can't see it from here. What you got? 10 minutes? Lucky for you folks, there's 10. Whoa, what did you have for dinner? Jesus Christ, that belch.
Jesus Christ, I got
it. Oh,
I got
it. Whoa. Smells like a Mexican's ass. Whoa, what the hell's going on? Oh.
This is fucked up.
All right, welcome to another episode of The Riot. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
And Larry, we took another week off. We do that a lot as we get older.
As we get older and our family commitments are greater.
And we take some time off. That's true.
That's it.
I mean, it is what it is, right? But also, I unfortunately was battling a cold, got a bad case of bronchitis. And I'll apologize up front in case I start coughing uncontrollably in the middle of the show.
Okay,
but you know, we love our fans.
Do we really?
No, not at all.
Do we even give a shit? Yeah.
No, nobody gives a fuck.
You might not see us for another 4 weeks.
All right. This is The Riot. For all your riotous needs, please go to thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com, where you can catch all past episodes, both audio and video. You can find out show synopses, follow what's happening with everybody else involved with the show, Larry.
Right.
ThatRiotShow.com. ThatRiotShow.com. Also, when you get done with that, social media. That's the other place you can find out a lot about us, Larry. Social media. Go to Facebook.com. Facebook.com/ThatRiotShow. Facebook.com/ThatRiotShow. Become a fan of the Riotous page on Facebook. Join all the other great fans of ours there. Leave a comment. Post something. We'll get back to you if you want.
Thousands of people. That's crazy.
And, of course, when you get done with Facebook, go to the trolliest of the trolley social platforms, Twitter. Twitter.com/ThatRiotShow. Twitter.com/ThatRiotShow.
Twitter.
Where, as we said that before, Larry, I'm getting banned by the minute over there.
Oh, my God.
By people that I don't even troll. The legend is spreading.
And I'm not kidding when I tell you that this is a person who gets banned like based on one comment.
Yeah.
John's a one-comment ban. I mean,
I'm a hit-it-and-quit-it bitch.
Yeah, he's a one-hit-a-quitter bitch.
All right. Okay, Phil, do me a favor before I start coughing up a lung. Hit the Scrollo podcast. You know, you can always follow us on your favorite podcast platform. That would be iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Podomatic, Player FM, SoundCloud, Mixcloud, TuneIn, and of course on YouTube. Check us out on, you know, anywhere there's a podcast, check us out there. Odds are we're there. Just search for That Riot Show, all one word, That Riot Show, on your favorite podcasting platform, Larry. In case you're interested, we're kind of big on Player FM and Podomatic. People seem to like us on those particular platforms, but we're on everything that is available out there. All right, Larry, let's talk about a few big issues, or maybe even the big issue of the past week, and that would be the new Obamacare 2.0 bill that the Republicans passed in the House.
The American Health Care Act.
There you go. Why don't you hit us up?
Don't you love these names that they?
Milton Friedman's
Affordable Care Act, right. American Health.
Milton Friedman had it right. He said, "Never judge a bill by its title, ever."
Yeah.
Because it never has anything to do with what it actually is going to end up doing.
Trump and the Republicans acting like 5-year-olds.
I'm sorry, like, I don't mean to correct you. Yeah. Correct you rather. Yeah. Rube.
Rube Republican, sorry, and they're not so rube president, who's mostly a Democrat.
Right.
They were playing the Rocky theme today after their big thrilling that you put up Sylvester dancing on those stairs in Philly. Right?
Yeah.
So here's Trump taking his victory lap. He got this through the House. And I went through the list of different and basically what the Republicans did. In this case, is they went through Obamacare and every tax and fee that the Affordable Care Act imposed on insurers, on individuals, they basically wiped them out, starting with the individual mandate tax. Okay, they took that out. They claimed that saved $695 per person. This is one of the taxes. They had the employer mandate tax. Okay, this is another fee that the Obamacare imposed. The Republicans said that this will save $270 billion.
Yeah.
The cut. Now, you realize they're saying that all the cuts together will save $1 trillion. And the National Taxpayers Union actually backed that up. I don't know if that's true. The other ones were if you had health care saving accounts
right,
or any of those spending accounts, there was apparently a fee on that, too. They got rid of that. They say that's another $6 billion in the bank. There was a fee on prescription drugs. If you tried to get through your healthcare account, right, your savings account, there was a penalty on that. They did away with that. So that's all part of the $6 billion. If you had a flexible spending account, there were other fees on that, slightly different than the spending account. They say that saves another $20 billion. The chronic care tax, another $126 billion. You get the idea. It's a lot of taxes, the healthcare insurance tax. This is another Obamacare. They're saying it saves $145 billion.
But you know, Larry?
Prescription drugs, another $25 billion. All these taxes.
All that sounds great, except I have a feeling that the Democrats don't agree.
No, they don't. In fact, Elizabeth Warren, who I am predicting is already running for president.
Of course she is.
She said that this is a terrible bill. And that the average American family is going to go bankrupt paying for healthcare, and that she said that people will die.
Of course.
So Bernie Sanders was upset. He wants Medicaid for all, and this cuts Medicaid, according to critics. They say it's going to lead to higher premiums, and basically the Democrats played the card that the most vulnerable and the poor are really going to get shellacked here.
Right.
It's mostly tax cuts for the rich because a lot of the insurance companies, and they are, they're bucks up. So, so they're saying worse coverage and less coverage for the poorest people, and that, they started doing the whole thing. People are going to die in emergency rooms.
Yeah, listen, here's the really ironic part, if you ask me. The Republicans, Republicans. Have done this time around exactly what the fucking liberals did with Obamacare. Okay, literally. Nobody got a chance to read the whole thing before it was voted on. Nobody. Not even the people who voted for it. Okay? So that eats a dick. Just because if you're a conservative or a Republican, you think, oh, wow, it's okay because it's our bill. No, it's not. You're still a fucking asshole. It's every Paul Ryan, especially. After he was screaming about Pelosi and her famous, well, you got to pass it to find out what's in it.
Right.
Hey, Ryan did the same thing here. All right. Then the other thing you got to keep your eye on here is this is still a fucking socialist bill. Okay. If you have carve outs for pre-existing conditions and keeping kids on until you're 26, look, it all sounds great. But you know what insurance for a pre-existing condition is? Nothing. There's no such thing as insurance for a pre-existing condition. Do you know why? Because then you're not insuring against anything. You already have it.
Right.
You have to pay for it. Okay?
Also, you have to realize how much of a Republican plan can this be?
It's not.
Everything is still being done by the government.
Exactly.
They basically just, here's what they did. They basically went into the weeds
as Harry Reid once said, of the plan, and any taxes, fees, penalties like that, you know, like for instance, if remember that under Obamacare, if you didn't sign, if you don't have health care, if you didn't sign up, there was a penalty for that. They did away with that too. So now if you don't want to, you don't have to have, but the point is they went through, and I just gave you the, like nine of the 12 things. They basically just went through and any taxes or fees and penalties on insurance companies, companies that provide healthcare for, you know, small businesses, medium and big businesses, they basically took out all the taxes and fees and penalties. Now, that's already not going to sign up any Democrats because the Democrats want to tax these people. As far as they're concerned, these are rich assholes and they want to tax
them. And honestly, when you hear these things about families are going to die, death penalties, listen, this is what the Republicans said when they lost on Obamacare. It was the same nonsense, okay? It is literally, to me, comical that it's a role reversal of almost, like, what do they say? Epic proportions. Yeah. It is literally, of course, this just plays into what Larry and I have been saying for years. There is essentially no difference between the two parties. They're both parties of statism, socialism. It's just whether or not their particular cronies end up ahead as opposed to the other guy's cronies. But the problem is cronies are still coming up ahead on this.
Yeah.
Okay.
What happened to drain the swamp?
What happened to just being a free market solution?
Yeah.
Why is there no free market solutions? I mean, very few, but for the most part, this is nothing more than Obamacare 2.0.
Right.
All right. And for you liberals that say premiums are going to go up, holy shit, what have they been doing since Obamacare got instituted? You seem to think that the Republicans are shooting something in the foot that worked. It didn't work.
Yeah, this is falling apart.
You saying that more people had coverage doesn't mean jack shit if their coverage eats my balls, which is what it does. And all it does is it jacks up prices. And for the life of me, Larry, because I've had these debates all week, I'm almost tired of them. Liberals can't make the numbers add up. Neither can Republicans, apparently, but liberals make a bigger deal out of it. The numbers don't add up, okay? You can't charge lower premiums, cover more shit, include pre-existing conditions, cover kids on their parents until they're 26. Anybody who can't afford insurance gets it subsidized. You can't do all that shit and claim that it'll not cost anything or that it'll only cost like Warren Buffett a couple of bucks. That's not the case, all right? You have to make shit add up. Insurance companies are not in the business of treating people, Larry.
Right.
It's not their job to cure you. Their job is to assess the risk of you getting an illness, figuring out what the odds are, and then charging you appropriately to cover you.
Right.
It has nothing to do with you dying or what you got or what. So look, if I have cancer, it's super sad, right? But if I let my insurance lapse and I have cancer and you go, well, you have to cover them because of a pre-existing condition, how is the insurance company supposed to price that?
Right.
And
any price they put on is going to be exorbitantly high.
Of course, because they have to pay back
the money. And the Democrats are going to complain that you're not taking care of people, especially if they're poor.
And that's why we always say, like, now when I talk like this on Facebook or Twitter, I'm immediately deluged by people like, oh, does that mean if you had someone with cancer, you'd want them to die? No, of course not. Does it mean that I want people not to have insurance? Of course not. But it's not the way to do it.
Right.
By forcing insurance. See, you know how insurance companies take care of things like this? If you let them price it appropriately,
right?
Odds are there will be, not many, but there'll be a few insurance for an exorbitant premium, let's be honest, that will cover you. Look, you can get life insurance if you're a male overweight smoker, okay? You can get life insurance, but it's going to cost you five times as much as what it'll cost this guy who isn't fat, doesn't smoke, and exercises four times a week.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's the way it should be. Because his risk profile is a lot lower than a fat fuck who smokes four packs a day.
Right.
Okay?
Well, that's why I got to tell you, that's why I was always, when we talked about it, I remember I was telling you, my idea of a great system, for instance, the other day, okay, I went to Quest Diagnostics, okay? And they did the whole thing on me, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Doctor calls me today, and I'm not just saying this. Told me everything is great. He goes, your triglycerides, your LDS, like whatever the fuck.
His cock size.
This is the best of all time. So he's going through the whole thing, my iron, everything, right? My tongue.
I thought you were going to say my eye.
My eye. So he told me everything is great. He goes, these are just excellent numbers. And right. Like, he's very happy about it. Okay. My idea of the best healthcare system is let all healthcare providers in the country compete in all 50 states.
Right.
You do a workup on me. My healthcare should be based on my health. I take my results. I send them. I don't know if this is even doable, but my idea of it is, and because I like it, because also because it doesn't involve government and it doesn't involve just raising people's taxes exorbitantly, right? Okay. So I send it to any and all companies I want. They come back and say, we've looked at it. We'll cover you for.
They compete.
We'll cover you for $500 a month. And then another company says, well, we'll cover you for $490. And somebody else comes through and says, well, maybe we'll cover you for $410. Yeah. And then I can make an economic decision or something that I want. What is wrong with, now obviously that would have to be tweaked a little bit, but what is wrong with that? And, you know, the other thing, which I think would be great about a system like that, you know, this thing that Trump passed, this is just more government run healthcare. I mean,
that's all it is.
I thought the Republicans were upset that 1/6 of the economy was being, or was it 1/7?
I know I was. 1/6.
1/6 was being taken over by the government and run by the government. And this is not what they wanted. You know what? All this is Obamacare without the taxes. That's all it is. It's still government run. The healthcare.gov website still functioning.
And you still have government involved. Because what's going to happen is, listen, you have to understand, Trump is not a free marketeer.
No.
Trump is not a libertarian. Trump is not somebody who believes in real free markets.
He thinks he's just a deal maker.
He claims he's a deal maker, and honestly, he wants to run everything. He wants to be the head cocksucker in charge, okay? Yeah. And that's what he wants done. So when you look at it, why does Trump get to decide who gets covered, how much drugs should cost, who gets jobs? Do you know what else is going to happen because this stupid fucking healthcare, which we predicted, what was it, 2 months ago?
Yeah.
Gorsuch, okay? I guarantee you now, in the Senate, prediction, okay? They're going to pass a nuclear option for legislation in order to pass this piece of shit, okay? So instead of needing 60 to get past a Democratic filibuster in the Senate, I guarantee you what Mitch McConnell is going to do is going to say, our colleagues overwhelmingly passed this. The American people are for this.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Guess what? We will not allow obstructionist Democrats, so we're doing the nuclear option down to 51. Right. All you need is a simple majority, which is, of course, what Rubin Chief Trump wanted when he said last week the Constitution is archaic.
Right.
51, Larry. The best number ever. Yeah. 51.
And that works for them. Maybe that works for McConnell, obviously, because the Republicans have 52 seats.
And meanwhile...
So then that way, the Democrats can't stop it.
Right.
And as long as you keep the Republicans basically in line, you know, there might be a few here and there. But
you might have a few libertarian guys, but
you know what? I think they're going to vote for it at the end of the day. You know why? Because the Obamacare is failing. And if you say, well, I didn't vote for Obamacare, but I didn't vote for this either, then you have to go back to your constituents and say... I have nothing to present you on the healthcare front. And like, you know, I think like, I won't go into it, but I think like what my plan is, I call it my plan. I think that's a much better system of just base it on yourself and you pay your monthly fees and you're covered 100%. That's what I think. I think they should have to cover you no matter what.
Well, here's the thing. Whether it works or not, I would prefer trying this than the horse shit that keeps failing. And because look at what the ridiculous system is right now. There was actually a debate, an idiot saying that this bill says that rape will be considered a pre-existing condition that isn't covered.
What?
Rape. Yeah, there's feminists out there who think rape. No, what they're probably talking about is that if you get raped and you get HIV, and then your insurance lapses and you have HIV, they won't cover you because you have a pre-existing condition of HIV. It's not the rape that's the pre-existing condition, you fucking idiots. Okay? Same thing goes for, I heard someone say a C-section becomes a pre-existing condition. No, pregnancies are not pre-existing conditions, morons. Okay? What they will do is, if you have a history of getting C-sections, and C-sections are indicative of other maternal complications,
right?
Then they might jack up your prices. And you know what? That's what it should be.
But the worst part about this is, it passed in what, 2010, right? The Obamacare? And then there was something like that, right? Yeah, no, it was
2009,
wasn't
it? Yeah,
2010, yeah.
Nine, ten.
It was 2 years after he basically got elected. Here's the crazy thing. So now the Republicans spent 6 years, that election cycle, and now four more after Romney loses, right? No, this is the fact. They spent 6 years repeal and replace, repeal and replace, repeal, like a fucking, well, they don't make records anymore, but like a broken record, right? How do you get them? This is the one that just floors me. How do you get to the point where, all right, so this dickhead wins, Trump, right? Okay. He gets inaugurated. It's another months after the election. How do you have no plan at all? Nobody, well, Rand Paul did, but they kept him even out of the meetings.
Right.
And I honestly, I don't even know that his plan was perfect. But the point is, how, after all this time, do you have absolutely nothing? You know why it failed the first time? Because they had nothing. They put together a piece of shit, like overnight. And even the conservatives and Republicans who wanted to get rid of Obamacare and they wanted to have something else, they were like, this is a piece of shit. Are you kidding me? How do you not have something that's ready to go? Even if you waited to Trump's election, a Republican gets elected. Even if you just start working on it then until the inauguration, which is, what, 2.5 months away, how do you have nothing ready to go?
I don't understand. I'm going to throw this out even further.
That shows you what phonies they are.
You have nothing ready to go. Why not take 6 months to do something right? What's the rush? You've got 2 years, in essence. Yeah. What's the rush?
I mean, the Obamacare might be a piece of shit, but you know what? It'll survive on its own, win for another whatever. You had time. Yeah. You had enough time to come up with something. But how do you not have something that is ready to go? Well, that's where they deserve
to be
slammed.
I can answer that. Fucking Trump admitted as much. He goes, well, healthcare is hard.
No,
this fucking idiot admitted.
But I'm talking about the Republican movement.
No, but I'm saying in general, their leader is like, I thought this was hard. I thought I'd come up here. You know, like Trump to this day admits that he thought being president would be easier than being CEO.
That's appalling.
Okay. So for all you rubes out there that have hit me up and said, why don't you support all the good stuff Trump has done and all this and that? First of all, he hasn't done much that's good. The few things he's done, fair enough. But for the most part, he's done jack shit.
Right.
He still runs around expressing his love of authoritarians, which I think is fucking insane.
He would be honored to meet Kim Jong-un.
Okay, think about that. Think about that. All right, he's got a fucking gangster.
Russia. Putin.
But he's got Duarte coming to the office from the Philippines. This guy has admitted to killing people in the streets personally.
Yeah. He said he wants to be the Hitler of killing drug dealers.
Okay. So when you think about it, Trump is still a big fucking rube. He doesn't understand his left from his right, both politically and probably with his hands. He probably still hasn't figured it out.
Yeah.
All right. He's still holding fucking rallies 3 months into his presidency. Think about that. He's holding rallies. And these rubes are showing up as if he's getting elected again.
They love it, though.
Of course they love it.
They love
it. Rubes.
They love it. But it also, because it's empowering, though. Because if you look at the news, with the exception of Fox, all it is anti-Trump, negative, what a fucking piece of shit he is. And these people, and the Hollywood people in Hollywood, everyone telling them how stupid they are for voting for it. Now, without getting into that, so you have to realize, being in one place with all other knuckleheads is fantastic for them, because it makes you feel validated that there are other people out there.
It does, but it's not, it doesn't do anything about the business. It shows you where his head is at. His head is at, he wants people to think he's got the biggest dick in the country. And that's what it comes down to.
But why do they love him so much? He's not even deliberate. Like, for instance, what happened to the stupid wall? Rubes who thought that was going to keep all these spits out of the country.
All your Republicans.
There's no money for it.
Yeah.
The Mexicans aren't paying for it. Nobody's breaking ground building it.
You know what I thought was hilarious?
And they just passed a $1.1 trillion budget to keep the government going. There's no money for your stupid fucking wall. So you know what that's left people to say? Trump is the wall. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
Trump is the wall because his rhetoric is keeping people out of the country because fewer people are sneaking in.
Yeah, and there is something to be said for the fact that maybe they've changed their priorities in prosecution of certain illegals and if they commit crimes and stuff. But you have to understand that, first of all, when Sean Spicer comes out and says, well, we kept the government going, but unfortunately we couldn't squeeze out too much for the wall. Why would you have to squeeze out for the wall? I thought that was his whole premise, you ruse, that he's a deal maker. Didn't he say he's going to cut a deal that Mexico will pay for the wall?
Yeah.
Why the fuck do we need a line item for the wall?
Why is there even a penny being asked for?
Yeah.
I thought the people south of the border were going to pony up for the big wall.
Yeah.
So I guess Vicente Fox, the former Mexican president, I guess he was right. We're not big fucking wall. I guess he was right.
Well, so far, right? I can't even begin to fathom how people think Trump is in any way. He's not presidential. He's still tweeting like a cocksucker. He's lost two court cases when his lawyers go in to argue his position and they say, well, what was it? The sanctuary city thing,
right,
where he wants to cut off funding for sanctuary cities.
That's not happening either.
Now you have to understand something. Most of the country would be behind you if you said, I'm against these sanctuary cities and just use the bully pulpit against them. Okay. Because most people don't like the concept of New York, San Francisco, and these other shitholes, like, proactively shielding criminals, illegal alien criminals, okay? Most people are against that.
Yeah.
But, of course, Trump isn't satisfied with that. He has to sign some shitty executive order withholding funds from these cities. He goes to court. And in the arguments before the court, I think the Solicitor General for the United States said, well, President Trump, this isn't a lot of money. It's really an inconsequential amount. And the judge says, well, not according to the president's tweets, because there's Trump saying, believe you me, we're going to withhold the money. It's a lot of money. You're not going to get this money. Go eat my ass. Like, he tweets this shit, and then the court says, well, no, the president said this, right? And twice. Once with the sanctuary cities and once with the immigration nonsense.
Right.
Because when they tried to argue that it's not a Muslim ban, what did the opposition do? Well, enter into evidence President Trump's own words, like "fuck the Muslims, keep out the Muslims."
Yeah, Muslim extremists. The countries that we're targeting: Iran, Iraq. Who do you think lives there? Polish Catholics. I mean,
so do you realize that this idiot's own words, like we always, like everybody always said, are coming back to haunt him? And right now, they're haunting him in his own shitty agendas. They're going to haunt people.
Well, he's got the other
internationally
one.
Too, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, he praised that guy, Erdogan, in Turkey,
right,
as he's cracking down and imposing martial law.
And
but Trump, great leader. Let me call him and congratulate
right.
him.
And he just the other week, he said very nice things about Marine Le Pen in France. Now, she's not, let me tell you something, whatever you think about her and her National Front party, she's not pro-American.
She just likes Trump.
She's not going to be like super, she's not going to win, but even if she did, I don't know what he thinks. I mean, he's basically picking up on her anti-immigration thing. She wants to get Muslims out of France. She wants to send them all back, pack them to Algeria
right.
or Morocco. But, you know, his mind is just so sort of, he likes Putin. He'd be honored to meet Kim Jong-un. The fuck is wrong with this guy? And then the people who are like democratically elected and represent like Angela Merkel, the Prime Minister of Australia, these people, he gets into like arguments where like insults them like, you people don't know anything. I won the biggest election in the world.
Right.
Look at my dick. Melania sucks this. He's
horrible. and you know what? Like in a lot of ways, he's gutless. Okay. I know you rubes think he's all that, but
he's all bluster.
He already skipped out on the White House press correspondence dinner, and it gave a chance to that idiot Samantha Bee to have her a counter show.
Yeah,
you know where all this. And you know what? Here's where the liberals now, in my opinion, and then Larry's, because I know we were talking about this. You are not letting him hang himself with his own rope. What the fuck's the matter with you people?
Yeah.
Between these Antifa cocksuckers that are like burning down colleges and physically assaulting right-wing speakers like even that cunt Ann Coulter that we can't stand anymore. Guess what? They violenced her out of Berkeley. Okay.
Yeah.
Guess who had to step in? Gavin McGinnis and his Proud Boys had to step in and they read her speech and they got into fight. Antifa, for all their shit, is a thug organization.
Right.
We saw the mugshots of all those Portland Antifa cocksuckers.
Yeah.
All white, for the most part. Like, if there were 20 of them, 18 of them were white.
Yeah.
The other one was Asian,
weren't privileged
little
assholes.
Cocksuckers.
But they're anti-fascist. I'd say it should be anti-First
Amendment. Yeah, that's what it is.
Anti-First Amendment is what it should really stand for. Because all they're doing is stopping people from speaking whose opinions they don't like.
Exactly.
You know, that can happen to you someday.
Not could, it will.
No,
it will.
I certainly hope not. But it's bad enough that they're doing it. But it's just a situation where, and Trump is.
You're empowering Trump.
Look at the people he likes. It's appalling.
You're empowering Trump and his nonsense.
Yeah.
I watched that Samantha Bee thing. I am not kidding you. For the first 3 minutes, and I physically could not watch it anymore.
Yeah, she's an asshole.
She's unfunny, but aside from that, the very parade of asshole after asshole coming up on that show for the strict purpose of bashing Trump.
Right.
Okay. Now, we bash Trump. That's fine. Okay. But be constructive about it.
I was about to say.
Be constructive about it.
If you watch this show, the criticisms are fair because John and I read and research these things. We're not unhinged people having a meltdown. And the people, like even Stephen Colbert, he went loony the other day and he got in a lot of trouble. And all because Trump criticized some reporter at CBS that Colbert claims to be a friend of. Well, I mean, Colbert, I never thought he was particularly funny. I didn't think he was funny on the Comedy Channel. But I mean, this is look at the environment that is going on.
And it's horrible because you're just justifying Trump's nonsense about fake news and untrustworthy media. Look, we've said it before: the mainstream media is inherently left wing, okay, and in ways that are so subtle you don't even realize it. For example, when the budget got passed, Larry,
right,
headline in the New York Times was. Analysis of how much these tax cuts will cost the government. Okay? Now, sounds harmless enough, right, Larry, as a title?
Right.
Do you know what's bad about it? It's a liberal perspective to think that tax cuts cost the government anything. You know what tax cuts do? They keep the government from stealing people's money to begin with. Okay? That's a left-wing position to think that tax cuts are an imposition on the government. People have to remember, it's not the government's money that they're giving back to you in a tax cut. It's less money that they're stealing out of your pocket.
Right?
So when a headline from the New York Times, the gray lady, the respected newspaper says, how much will tax cuts cost? They're already giving you their political position.
Right.
And their political position is that, hey, much like any good Keynesian statist, we're going to tax you to give you what you need because we know more than you and we know better than
you. But it also suggests that whatever the taxes currently are, they're fine with it.
Right.
And they think it should be higher.
Right.
So the problem is the moment you start saying, well, we're going to cut taxes, meaning translation, taking less from people. Okay. You can see that. Look at the language. What are the tax cuts going to cost? Well, actually nothing, like you said. So the problem is, what that means is, they're already letting you know they don't believe in that, because they want, whatever the tax are, they want it to stay that way. Right. And if you could raise it even higher, that's why I referenced our last show, that whole thing about Michael Moore. He's a perfect example. He did that stupid movie, Where to Invade Next. The whole thing, and he tried to show some chart with, this is how much we pay in taxes. This is how much the Europeans pay. They pay a little bit more, but look at all the wonderful services, education, healthcare. They go through the whole thing. That's ridiculous. The reason they specifically don't like the tax cuts is not only do they not want them cut, they think they should be much higher, and much higher on what they always say on rich people, which is horse shit. That never works out. For higher taxes always means the middle class is going to take it up the ass.
Right.
And that's bad enough because the middle class is shrinking in this country.
And you have to understand the other thing also is that not everything that is not affordable is a right. And that's where people see, listen, a right by definition is something that belongs to you by nature of you being a human being.
Right.
Okay. By definition, let me let you in on a little libertarian philosophy here. A right is not something the government bestows upon you, especially in this country. A right is not something that the government grants its citizens. Oh, no, no, no. I have my rights by virtue of me being a human. Those are where my rights come from.
Right.
Okay? They come from nature. I have my rights because I have a right to determine my own fate. I have a right to live. I have a right to earn a living. Right? These are my rights. Any right that involves someone else being forced to give me that right, quote unquote, is not a right.
And your rights in this country are enumerated in the Constitution, as somebody once said.
Right.
Look at the Bill of Rights. This is a list of individual rights, your rights, and what the government can't do to you.
Not what the government gives you.
Right.
See, people think the Bill of Rights is what does the government give you? No. The Bill of Rights is, this is the shit the government can never encroach upon.
This is what they can't, think about it. You have the right not to incriminate yourself. You have the right to own a firearm. You have the right to say whatever you want. You have the right to, the government can't engage in the...
Tell you what worship to engage in. Who to associate with. Yeah, things like
cruel and unusual punishment. But think about it. All these rights are all to protect you. And to give you your rights so you can pursue your life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. It's never supposed to be set up about the government gives you health care, gives you education, gives you a house to live. Some of them want a stipend of $100,000 a year. These things are absurd. And why you think, the thing is, everybody thinks on the left that if these things are provided,
no problem.
Life is great. And then you can literally just go about like living your life. That's ridiculous. And these things are not affordable, and it's not what the government is supposed to be doing.
Well, it's also the concept, Larry, that these rights somehow are non-coercive. For example, in any healthcare system run by the government, okay, two things are occurring. One, they're taking money from someone else to provide to you. So right there, you know it's not a right because someone else is being forced to provide it to you.
Yeah, stop saying these things are free.
Right.
The
second thing is you guys are forgetting about the human cost of all this. What about the doctors that are not going to be allowed to charge what they want for their services? What about the nurses and the psychiatrists and the doctors who are going to be forced to treat people they may not want to treat? Or not treat people they want to treat.
You could have a situation where fewer and fewer people, I don't know if this is the case right now, you might have fewer and fewer people going into the medical profession.
Well, yeah,
because if it's not as profitable, and I mean, unless you just get people who just want to help people, that's fine. Like, you know, people who join the Peace Corps. I mean, that's fine. But you know what? A lot of people do because it could also be a wonderful, lucrative career.
Yeah.
As well as you're taking care of people. Yeah. But you know what? If you take that away, you're going to start losing a lot of excellent people. Because what's the point? You have to realize, you think going to med school is easy? It is long, it is difficult, and it's expensive.
And you know, Larry, you hit on it. I was just about to say this.
Yes.
This is where liberals just don't understand how things are all tied together. Because they're like, oh, so the government will just give you health care. What's wrong with that? Here's how government, though, being involved in everything else, drives up the cost of health care and why health care prices never come down when they're socialized, okay? First of all, by providing free education, we have more doctors than we need, and it's become more and more expensive personally to those doctors. So when they graduate, they're under a shitload of debt.
Right.
So if they're allowed to set their prices, first of all, the government is saying to them, hey, we just fucked you in the ass on your student loans. And by the way, it's the government that's driving up the price of those loans because they're guaranteeing them. And what do colleges do when they have a guaranteed payment?
Yeah.
They jack up the price because they know someone's going to pay it.
As long as they know that they're going to be compensated.
What the fuck do they care?
Why am I charging you $50,000 when I could charge you $80,000? So,
right. You prevent competition in the insurance market. They get to charge more.
Right.
All right. So at the end of the day, oh, and then you don't have tort reform. So these doctors have to charge more to pay for their malpractice insurance.
Right.
Which is not insignificant, by the way.
No, I was about to say that.
Right?
Of all their insurance, 20% of it just goes for that.
Right. Then you have the government that, because of the FDA, because of senseless regulations, because of ridiculous taxes, because of limiting patent shelf life of drugs, pharmaceutical companies have to charge more, and they're being driven to charge more by who? The government again.
Right.
You can point out one case of like those guys with the EpiPens and all that. You know why those guys can charge what they want? They have no competition. Why do they have no competition? Because the government makes barriers to entry that are incredibly difficult to scale.
And allow people to get like a monopoly.
And they prevent other like Canadian drug makers or European drug makers or Indian drug makers from selling their wares in the U.S., okay? Right. The FDA, those of you that are like, oh, the FDA prevented... what was the thalidomide tragedy from happening in the U.S.? Yeah, it did. But guess what? The FDA was never meant to be a regulatory agency. The FDA was supposed to be an efficacy agency. You just went to them to say, does this work the way the manufacturer says it does?
Yeah.
Yes?
And either it did or it did.
And if it didn't, you could still take it.
Right.
It was your choice, and it should still be your choice.
They were almost like set up like consumer reports.
Exactly.
But if you ever read that thing, it just tells you, this product worked, this one doesn't work.
Yeah. That's a great example of the free market working.
Yes.
Consumer Reports made a business out of being a trusted source of information.
That they thoroughly checked and vetted all these products and anything that's in their public. I mean, I used to read it.
Even if Ralph Nader is an asshole.
Yeah.
And he found it.
You know what? There's nothing wrong with reading it because, you know what? Maybe you find something helpful. And that's how I used to approach it. But absolutely. And you know what? The government needs to get out of doing all these things. They need to be doing the things they do well, which is spying and making bombs.
I would even throw that. But to the point that he's at, we need to get government out of the marketplace. I know there's every fucking liberal out there this week has been screaming, healthcare is my right. When you point out to them that it's not a right, it's a service, for all the reasons that I've enumerated here, they say, but it's different. Why is it different? Because people's lives are at stake.
Right.
No. Even more reason to leave it to the people. It amazes me to this day.
You're dealing with people who don't trust.
They're all emotional too.
They're very high strung and emotional. I mean, but that's leftists. Yeah. They're always emotional about their politics, but they don't trust the government. They don't trust companies. They don't trust the market. So
they don't trust freedom. Actually.
No, but they don't. So their solution is government come in, stop those rich fucking companies, and set like low prices or free and. That's it. Like, if you look at Bernie Sanders this week, he was on CNN, we need Medicaid for all, and like, just going through it, and he just wants to expand Medicaid to cover everybody. And his usual story, but like every other first world country in the world.
Yeah. Let me ask you something. To this day, it amazes me, and Elizabeth Warren, every other socialist and statist, and every dope that thinks it's a workable system. If you claim that healthcare is too expensive for the people, how do you claim it'll be cheaper when you've got the government acting as a middleman, taking a cut of everything it redistributes back to the people for the same product, for the same service? How does that work? So if we all can't afford healthcare on our own without a middleman, how are we going to afford it with a middleman? I don't get it. The math just never adds up, okay?
Yeah, see, the problem is that they think the government's going to stop what they think are very corrupt companies from overcharging people. And that's why they love a story like that guy who found the...
Oh, Schiavelli.
That fucking asshole. All right, look, he's a douche, but, you know, but they had the pill, it was worth like $20. He raised it like $800, whatever
it was.
You know, but all right. But you know what? But they run with it. And like Bill Maher talks about it. And then people in Hollywood talk, and they tweet about it. And then it becomes like a crazy thing. And this is their proof that the market doesn't work. Companies are not to be trusted, and we need the federal government to step in and say, and that's how you wind up with Obamacare.
And that's why
they don't want, like, for instance, the plan that I was talking about before. I get my results. I send it to companies. They tell me how much it's going to cost me. I make my monthly payments. They cover me 100%. I think that's the best plan in the world. It's a superficial.
Sure.
You know, obviously, like, even the way I would like to run it. I mean, obviously, if you did like cosmetic surgery, you'd have to pay for that yourself. I don't expect the company to cover it if you did something out of vanity. But the point is, it doesn't involve the government. It doesn't involve raising taxes on people. And my health care is based on my health. Why should I pay, as John said before, why should I pay for somebody who smokes and drinks like a fish? You know what? If you want to do that, I'm fine with it. But why do I have to pay for that? And the problem is that people on the left, since they have no solutions and they don't trust the market, what they think is, we'll raise my own rich people. That's their thing. It never works out, but this is it. There's this pool of money from rich people, and then we'll just pay for these things. And then they start pointing to like Europe and Canada.
And they all seem to think that these paragons of socialism somehow have a better health care. They don't.
They don't.
They don't. What they have is shitty coverage for all. Yeah, they have shitty coverage for all. But, you know, there's people don't believe this because they just simply don't want to believe it. There's waiting lists for surgeries, for chemo, for things like that. I've said this 100 times
already. Things you can get done overnight.
There are prime ministers of Canada and Nova Scotia with their shitty socialist universal health care. When they needed heart surgery, you know where they came? New York.
Yeah.
And they paid out of pocket, and they were happy to do it.
Yeah.
Because they knew if they went under the knife in their little shithole Canuckville, they'd probably be dead on this table.
But the quality is just not that good. On previous shows, I've talked about my folks. I would go down to Florida at least once a year. Every time they're down there, they run into Canadians who are not only that they're like on vacation, but they're down there taking care of.
Well, it's called medical vacations.
Yeah. But they tie it in. Some of them have houses and homes down there.
And you know what? By the way,
they fly down to Florida and they do it. And it ties into also another story that I told about that woman from, who lived outside Toronto. She got, she needed a hip replacement. It made her bedridden. So she lost her job, and the health minister in her province said, we're only allowed to do 10 of these operations a year. And you can read this. It's in the Toronto Globe and Mail. I mean, it might go back like 9, 10 years. They told her we can only do 10 a year and you're number 30 on the list. Now that means she would have to wait 3 years.
At least 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if you assume that some other people drop off the list or die away. So what did she do? She flew from Toronto, where she lived near Toronto, down to Kansas City. And she got it done like that. Now, the bad news, of course, it cleaned her out financially. She had to pay for it. That's the only problem. But would you, if you needed some surgery, all of a sudden, would you really want me coming and saying, well, we're only allowed to do it. You have to wait 2 or 3 years. Get the fuck out of here.
And by the way, the doctor you got isn't the best in the world. He's the guy who got a C. But you know what? He was cheap enough to under the plan, so we got him.
Yeah.
All right. And look, it's not just the U.S. A lot of people go to India on medical vacations, because you know why?
Yeah.
India has a glut of doctors.
Yeah.
And when you have a glut of something, what does basic economic tells us? The price comes down.
Down. Now, I realize, like, if you go there, they all sound like they're running a 7-Eleven. but the fact is, they know what they're doing. Like, you can talk to me, let me tell you about your spleen. Like, okay, yeah. but they know what they're doing. Right. So who the fuck is?
And that's the point, right? See, people think that somehow healthcare, education, housing are all immune somehow to the laws of economics, to the laws of the market. It's not. It really isn't. The only time things become immune to the market forces is when government fucks things up.
Right.
That's the only time. Everything else, really, you have to understand that you gotta trust in liberty. You gotta trust in free markets. You gotta trust in free individuals engaging in free exchange, in voluntary exchange, okay? The government forcing an insurance company to cover me when it knows it will lose money on me,
right?
It only gives it two choices. Refuse to cover me or go out of business, or B, make up what they're losing from me from everybody else.
Right. Like even in the current Obamacare, one of the, I think it was Humana, or something. They said they lost like $1 billion in like.
Oh yeah, people are insurance companies are dropping out like flies.
Yeah, right? I mean this is ridiculous. It's not the way to do things. I'm telling you right now, and Elizabeth Warren is going to run. She's going to run in 2020.
Universal healthcare.
Let me tell you something. Single payer system. That's going to be the cornerstone of her thing. Plus, she's going to make the same mistake Hillary did. You know what? I'm going to say that right now too. She's going to run a montage of every stupid thing that Trump says for like the next 4 years. Imagine chronologically. Imagine if this was 2020. She'll have everything he said and she'll write, you know, that didn't work for Hillary. It's not going to work for you. I mean, go ahead and do it. But you know what? She's going to run on that. And then there'll be some other like really like lefty thing.
And then she'll run on free everything like a true socialist. It'll be free healthcare, free education, free housing.
Open borders. It's as stupid an idea as the wall. All you need is reasonable border security. Remember Gary Johnson? Reasonable border security. That's it. And he's a border governor when he was in New Mexico. It's all you need. You just need something that's reasonable. So
crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. But we'll see what happens. And you heard it here first. McConnell's going to go nuclear on legislation as well. 2 months after he swore up and down that he would never go nuclear with legislation.
He is not going to be outdone by Chuck Schumer. I can tell you right now, I saw something and you saw the two of them like staring and standing next to each other. I really get the feeling they personally don't like each other. But, I think if they could get away with it, like McConnell would say to him, you dumb Jew idiot. And Schumer would be like, you fucking redneck asshole. Like, I really think if they could break it out, I really get the feeling that there's like a personal dislike there. You're going to see the nuclear thing now. You think that's ending with Gorsuch? You're out of your fucking mind.
Yeah.
This is going to be now everything. So they can get stuff that they are not going to let the Democrats, get what they want. And the Democrats now are just, they're, doing everything they can, raising money, everything they can do to be successful in the midterm elections in 2018.
Oh, absolutely.
And, and unless something really, I actually think that's going to go well for them. But who knows? There's a lot. Because the midterm elections never favor the person in office. You know, you remember when Clinton won in 92, he got creamed in 94. So, I think that's down the line too, but, I don't know. I mean, but watching Trump every day is like, it's disturbing. I mean, like, I understand, like, what annoys me is you watch these people on the left, Colbert, all these people, all these stupid things they're all saying, and it puts you in a position where you almost have to, like, I said this, where you have to, like, defend them because their criticisms are so stupid and so unfair, and they would never say these things about Obama or criticize him like that. And who the hell wants to defend Trump? I mean, he's absurd. The fact that he, and oh, and tying that in, let's tackle this while we have a few minutes. Yeah. Hillary Clinton has stuck her ostrich head out from the ground again. Has she grown up? Has she learned anything? Is there any introspection whatsoever? Absolutely not. What does she say? Comey's at fault. The Russians, WikiLeaks at fault, and misogyny.
And if the election was held,
this country likes likes a strong, powerful man. They don't like a strong, powerful woman.
Well, that's true.
Really?
You fuck those bitches.
Okay.
Dirty cunts.
Cunts. Fuck you and Huma Abba Booba Booba.
So here's the funny thing. Comey, you know, people are saying, oh, he cost her the election. Nate Silver has said very clearly the release of that letter by Comey was the turning point in the election for Clinton. So by saying that, of course, Donna Brazile, all the leftists that helped with her campaign, Axelrod, all these people are like, for the most part, they're like, well, that proves that Comey cost her the election. Ignoring the fact that she's guilty of sin. And like, what did Comey also reveal today? Huma Abedin emailed all that sensitive shit, 6,000 of it, to Captain Penis, her husband at home, so he could print them out for her to get around the fact that it would be insecure to print them out. Okay?
It's not a secret.
And I guarantee you, who knows where those things went once they were printed out.
Right.
Did they end up in the hands of the Saudis? Did they end up in the hands of Russians? Did they end up in the hands of...
But it also goes to show, like, they really think that, like, the
they did nothing wrong.
They're like, no, but they don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, in other words, if you're doing this and you're doing it as casually as they did, that means they're really sitting around, no one's going to see this.
Yeah.
No one's going to steal it. What are you worried about? Let me just give it to you. You print it out, and we'll take out the thing that designates that it's a security...
Top secret or secret, right. And that's the funny thing here, okay? They are constantly, meaning the liberals, are constantly saying he, so-and-so, Comey cost us the election. The Russians cost us the election. They never address what was bubbled up to the surface.
Right.
I'm still trying to figure out where Brazil said, you know what, I stole those questions and fed them to Clinton from the debates. All she says is the Russians interfered.
Right.
Okay. But would you have felt better if it was the Washington Post that figured this out?
But even her, what a filthy liar she is.
Yeah.
I was watching live when she was on, Megyn Kelly used to be on Fox. I was watching that when Megyn Kelly started grilling her about the questions that she gave to Hillary Clinton. She wouldn't, she was tap dancing. She was, Megyn, I really respect you, but I didn't do anything wrong. Then she comes out later and admits she gave the questions to the Clinton camp. This is why you lose. You didn't go to Ohio, shithead. That's why you lose. You did a minimal effort in Michigan and only went there like in the waning days of the campaign. You insulted people, your stupid basket of deplorables. Look, half the Trump supporters.
You fucked Bernie over.
You know what? How about this? How about that? Let's say that's true. But I have already gone through this. You know what? If you live in Pennsylvania, if you live in Michigan, you live in Ohio, and you didn't hear a lot in this last campaign about undecided people. You really didn't.
Right.
But there were lots of them, believe it or not. A lot of people last minute. You know what? If you insult people like that, like, let's say you're undecided, and you hear this comment, oh, but look, my brother's voting for Trump, my aunt's voting for Trump, my grandfather's voting for Trump. You're calling them a basket of the plus, and of course, the optics of politics. She says it in New York City, where I am very proud to be from my whole life, but you know what? I know that a lot of rubes in this country don't like New York. So you're in New York, you hear the crowd laugh. You don't see them. You only see her at the podium, but they're laughing their ass off. How do you think that plays if you live in, like, Missouri, Ohio, Pennsylvania?
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Like, the whole thing with it. Plus, and even Joe Biden said this right after the news, it was a campaign without issues.
Yep.
You know why? I don't know why she advertised here in New York. Obviously, she's going to win. This was one of her campaign ads, and I've talked about this. You just see this. He calls us pigs. He calls us fat. He judges women on a scale of 1 to 10 or something like that. I hate to point this out to you. All men do that.
Yeah.
That's actually not just asshole.
Including
Trump.
Your husband.
Yes. All men just size women up. And they all think they can bang all of them. I mean, this is, you know.
And then you throw in all the shit that was uncovered by WikiLeaks, that the Russians, whatever you want to call it. No. But it was all true. No one's denied the actual shit. We keep saying that. Throw in the fact that she kept fainting it and tripping and she looked unhealthy.
Right.
And then you know what's interesting? I was watching old YouTube clips of Norm MacDonald. Do you know Norm MacDonald?
Yeah,
the comedian?
I love
Norm MacDonald. Great comedian. But I was watching things from 1994 when he was goofing back then on Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And 23 years ago, in 1994, Norm MacDonald, contemporarily, is goofing on Hillary Clinton for being a dirty liar.
Yeah.
And he would keep hammering her. She did a good job of moving Vince Foster's body. And, you know, like, why the contradictory statements on the part of Mrs. Clinton? Because she's a dirty liar. Like, these were jokes 23 years ago.
Right, and he did this on SNL.
Right.
And that's what got him actually off the show and blacklisted. I read
Blackball,
this.
Yeah.
Blackball, because Norman...
Lorne Michaels
didn't like it. But he did one of his one things. He made a joke about the Clintons killing Vince Foster. And then you hear the crowd like laugh uncomfortably. And I remember he goes, oh, yeah, the Clintons have been killing people.
they're murderers.
They're murderers. Where have you been? Like,
but just so you, like, young feminist twats right now think that this was mean white guys and Trump doing this to Hillary, people have been doing this, saying this about Hillary for 40 years.
Right.
That she's a pathological liar.
Right.
She lies when she doesn't have to lie, which we saw again with the email server. The whole, I don't have a server. Oh, yeah, someone set up a server. I never saw any top secret things. Oh, they were top secret till I changed them to secret. Oh, it's not against the law anyway. She, you know, she always thinks she has to lie.
Yeah.
And like Nixon, you know, and it is true. It is a untrustworthiness that comes through to people.
Right.
Now, whether it's enough to sink you in an election is debatable.
But it's the issue of the pathology of lying. Like, for instance, if you look at the way she handled the whole thing with the emails, deny, deny, deny. Then that guy, Paglia, whatever. He uses the Fifth Amendment 140 times during his deposition or whatever the fuck it was. Look, I'm not against the Fifth Amendment, but if you're taking it that many times, you're a lying cocksucker at some point. At some point, you're doing something you don't want
to
get into trouble. Excuse me. So then, what is she doing in the campaign trail? Does anybody remember this? I love Snapchat. Everything you email and put on it just disappears. Like, and the crowd laughs with her because they're very pro-Hillary. And so she went from denying and taking it serious, saying there's nothing to know here. Then she's like admitting it, but she's like making a joke about it. Then she went back to the Republicans are being unfair. You know, like, and now she emerges. Why did she lose? Misogyny.
Right.
Comey, WikiLeaks. Get the fuck out of here. You ran a shitty campaign. You're a shitty, unlikable candidate. And actually, I saw on the news here that one of the ones I forgot, she was doing, I forgot what station was on. She's doing the interview. She goes, how am I not 50 points ahead of this guy?
Yeah.
You know what? And like this entitled asshole attitude that you owe it to me to make me the president of the United States. That's the only good thing. That's the only good thing about Trump winning. Is that fucking dumb bitch is not in the White House. The horny asshole husband is not in the White House. And we don't have to put up with whatever Trump is doing right now. You know what? I have to admit, I didn't want to see Hillary for 4 to 8 years, maybe 8 years. Fuck it.
No, it was truly, we said it at the time, there was no good options.
Gary Johnson.
In that thing. But yeah, I'm glad she lost. I'm happy she's suffering.
Right.
Honestly, I'm happy she's suffering.
Fuck it.
You know, the joke about them being murderers is probably a little over the top, but the truth of the matter is she's very, even in the world of politicians, she's a pathological liar and everybody knows it.
Right.
Okay, so before you start blaming Comey and deplorables and rubes, ask yourselves this question. How did admittedly the worst candidate in the history of presidential elections in this country win? The only reason Trump won...
60% negative rating.
Yeah. Is because the Democrats ran an even shittier candidate, mm-hmm. come to grips with it, or don't come to grips with it. That's fine.
Oh, they're not.
But the point is, you're just deluding yourselves. Right?
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. This is Mark, the man with the golden voice, and I just love Sunday morning Blumpkins.
Like, they've learned nothing. They've learned absolutely nothing. And, you know, like, anything like introspection is only coming from people who at this point have nothing to gain by the play. David Axelrod, who ran Obama's campaigns, right? Okay. Saw him on, I think it was CNN the other day, came out and goes, she ran a terrible campaign. He just went through all the stuff that I've been talking about. Didn't go to Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, blew people off, took Florida for granted. He went through, but then he said, she needs to move on from it. He didn't talk about Comey. Right. He didn't talk about WikiLeaks. He didn't talk about hacked emails. He didn't talk about Podesta being stupid enough to have password as his password. He didn't talk about Donna Brazile giving the questions. He just said, bad candidate, as bad as Trump is, that's the only way you could lose to this fucking guy and still win the popular vote, but right. still lose the electoral vote and lose that blue line of defense, support that they had, you know, all those Rust Belt states, you know, right. Kentucky, Michigan, Ohio, all those states always go for the, they've been going for the Democrat. How do you fucking lose that? That's absurd.
When you're a fucking twat.
Yeah.
That's how.
You're a twat and a half.
All right. You know what? It's time to wrap up.
Yep.
I'm about to lose my voice. Larry's about to get really excited. So, stop.
Okay.
Oh, no, continue.
No, continue.
No, stop.
No,
stop.
I never thought I'd say this. Don't swap.
All right, until next week when we try to do this nonsense again, this has been your host, Big Fat John.
And Judah Larian.
Peace, bitches.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. This is Mark, the man with the golden voice, and I just love Sunday morning Blumpkins.